give us something?
Right, one elephant this way, one elephant that way.
Filmmaker Gurinder Chadha is having her most marvelous year. This summer promises the release of her feature film, Blinded by the Light, that has already won Hearts and Warner Brothers backing when it was shown recently at the Sundance Festival. And next month sees the launch of her six-part ITV Sunday Night costume drama series, Beecham House, filmed over many weeks in Rajasthan in India.
This is one of my amazing locations, and we're shooting here in Jaipur, which is Delhi, 1795. And the series for me is an amazing chance to go back and look at the history between Britain and India before the British Raj.
There was a lot going on, and India was literally up for grabs because it was the end of the Mughal Empire. Shah Alam was the last kind of real Mughal emperor, but he was being propped up by the Hindu Maharajas. What you also had was Britain in Bengal and the East India Company very much trying to trade and take over principalities. Then you also had the French. You had not only a British East India Company, there was a French East India Company. And they were fighting alongside Tipu Sultan against the British for the South. Who was going to claim India? So that's the background of where our story is.
Welcome to Delhi, Sahib. It is an honor to meet you. I'm Badal.
Pleasure to meet you, Badal.
Along comes a man called John Beecham in the opening episode, who has a bit of a past. We don't know exactly what his past is. We know he was once with the East India Company. And then he moves into this house.
But Beecham is as handsome as he is mysterious. And raises eyebrows by arriving at his new house with a baby and two Indian women.
No one mentioned a baby is coming, Sahib.
Badal, you will learn that I'm a private man. Now, I should like to see the house.
Of course, sir. Bring the trunks from the carriage.
What about the women and baby? We've only prepared a master's quarters.
This house is full of servants who all have their own stories and are trying to work out who he is. So it does have the upstairs, downstairs flavour. And I grew up on that show. I mean, I loved that show because I loved the politics of the upstairs and downstairs and the hierarchies. So there's an element of that, but of course it is its own thing too.
Can I hear the music again, please?
No. Because I'm trying to get into the island.
Let's go.
Quarantine them, please.
Right now we are shooting a scene where John Beecham meets Margaret Osborne for the first time. And he's surprised to see an English lady in Delhi. So here at his neighbour's party, there's dancing, there's music, and local dignitaries dress splendidly in silks and fabulous extended turbans. He meets Margaret. He's quite charmed by her.
Margaret is a governess, one of several possible love interests for John Beecham.
In a garden full of beautiful flowers, I see your eyes have rested on the only English rose.
I was surprised, that's all.
It is a rarity in Delhi. Come, I should like to introduce you.
And cut. Jay, please make sure these guys stop and watch the dancing at some point, or at least acknowledge the musicians. Everyone's ignoring them. That's it, thank you. Yeah, there we go, perfect. Carry on. And action.
I think what's great about working in Jaipur is that every morning when you get up and go to work, you're passing amazing monuments and buildings from the 14th, 15th, 16th century. For the first week we were here, everyone was just like mesmerized by all the antiquity around us. And even now, where we're sitting in this amazing room with beautiful arches and the paintings on the wall, it's got to be about 400 years old. Out through the window, we're looking at the Shalimar Garden, beautiful garden that was very much of the time. So the history is so present.
Okay, let's hold everyone's positions. Let's position, please, for camera.
The locations are an object lesson in Mughal architecture and design. The buildings, many of them palaces, are characterized by domes and slender minarets with cupolas and delicate ornamentation. The Samud, and especially the Chumud Palace, for example.
In that palace, what I love, when I first walked in there as a location, was the detail on the walls of flower motifs and leaves and vines. And I brought some of my crew over and I said, have a look at this. What does this remind you of? And they looked at it, I went, Laura Ashley, right? And they went, oh, yeah. And they're like, oh, Grinda's going to give us a lecture now on imperialism. And I was like, well, you know, here it is.
Tom Bateman plays Beecham.
It was my first time to India, so I sort of landed in Jaipur and was assaulted by the sound and smells of this incredible country. At first, you're like, oh, my God, there's no rules of the road. You know, there's people just crashing all over the place. No one seems to be doing anything about it. Things tend to be a lot calmer in England. It's kind of crazy and chaotic here.
It's absolutely insane. But it instills every single scene and take with a sense of energy that you don't really achieve in cold studio set in London.
It's very loud here. Obviously, that is a challenge whenever you're on location.
After the cart! After the cart! Get the cart out!
Gurinder says that since she's Punjabi, she's well used to talking 10 decibels louder than most people. But the culture shock of working the Indian way has taken its toll on some.
One particular person in my crew, who shall remain nameless, an English member of the crew, just literally walked off set because they said it's just too noisy. And I'm like, well, it's India. And they're like, yes, but people shout at each other all the time. I'm like, yes, that's very Indian. Because that's what the Indian crews do. Everyone shouts at everyone. It's not like, quiet, please, now we're taking over. In India, it's like, okay, taking, this side, get down. You know, it's all like that. And then, okay, tick. That's how they do it in India. That's the culture. So this person just couldn't take the noise, really, in the end, and twice walked off in tears, saying it's just too noisy. Plus, you've got all the traffic, you've got everything else going on.
Another person coming through.
I think the biggest nightmare for me, if I have a nightmare on this shoot, is working with animals. Because every time the animals appear, they never do what they're supposed to do. And it's become a big joke now. We have horses that pull carriages, but they don't like to pull them on certain terrain. So we've ended up having to stop, take the horses off, and get people to pull the carriage the rest of the way. The only animals that have been consistently amazing in this shoot, always do what they're told, always do it right for the camera, always do it with great emotion, are my elephants. My elephants have given me 101% on this shoot.
You've been patient, you've been so good.
Nice.
Lovely,
yeah.
Elephant.
We had a terrible incident where we were shooting in the gardens of Beecham House. And, excuse me one minute, Niels, bring him forward away from the shadow. He looks a bit lit right now. Bring him forward so he's bigger in shot. Yeah, that's better. So we were in this garden, and what the DP wanted was some smoke, some nice atmosphere. And there was a massive bee's nest, and they really didn't like the smoke, and they all came running out like this, these bees, after all of us, and everyone went running for miles. It was funny, but I have to say, a lot of people got stung, which wasn't funny.
But there's a price to pay for filming in epic locations, such as the Jaigarh Fort in Jaipur.
You need to stop now.
We are having to battle shooting with members of the public because obviously we can't ban people, but we can't own the fort outright. And what we have to do is allow the public in when we're not shooting. And when we are shooting, we just have to have a lockdown. And the difficulty in that is obviously sound is a problem because, of course, they talk and, you know, they don't know. But the other problem is that they're all dressed in very modern clothes and this is 1795. So we have period soldiers, we have people in period clothes, And then suddenly someone in a bright polyester lime green shirt will walk through the scene and you're going, that's not very 1795.
And board, camera three.
Okay, let's go to... Let's go there.
It is a massive operation. I mean, I think they're catering for 350 people every lunch or dinner break.
On our biggest day, I think we have gone up to 550. I think we are using around 17 different hotels because there are no big hotels. You know, it's all small hotels. We are putting 5 rooms there, 7 rooms there.
The food is like wedding food. I mean, it's very rich. A lot of people love that, but me, I'm like, I'm done, mate. I can't eat any more curry. Please don't give me any more Indian food, nothing. I just want a salad.
The logistical nightmares for co-producer Rakesh Singh and production designer Michael Ralph are daunting. But out of all the noise comes action.
Because the Indians work very fast, and you get a lot done despite the heat and the dust.
The fact that they are able to handle anything in an emergency immediately. I love the fact that with a hammer, you can do anything. Forget the power tools. And I love the fact that, you know, it's raining and you're under a piece of tarp and you can build a throne. I love the fact that you could lose this location tonight and tomorrow. You found a new location in the middle of the night and you go there and you address it in the middle of the night. By the next morning, it's done. I love the can-do attitude and the companionship of the power of that.
The fact that I am Indian goes a long way. And with the crew, I don't show them any hierarchy. You know, quite often Western crews go and the English or the Western crew is more superior to the Indian crew. And they all know that and they all feel that. But I try and really mix it up. It's a very lovely custom. Every morning they do little prayers and then everyone blesses the camera. I like to do this when we shoot in India because it's sort of respecting the Indian crew, it's respecting customs.
Let's go for it. We're shooting.
And Gurinder's insistence on diversity runs through every aspect of the series. The Indian characters are not merely bystanders in the drama.
I grew up on fantastic British India serials on TV, like Jewel in the Crown, Passage to India, Far Pavilions. But let's not forget that in Passage to India, Alec Guinness sort of blacked up, right, as the Indian, as did the poor old actress in Far Pavilions, the English actress who played the Indian princess. But here we have a show with a cast with English actors, Indian actors, Indian actors from India, Indian actors from Britain, Indian actors from Australia. Extremely mixed, diverse cast. But more than that, the emotional narratives, the storytelling is from a diverse perspective. We're encompassing the story from all different cultural perspectives. And that's ultimately what makes this story, despite being set in 1795, feel very modern today.
Oh. That's me being asked to go somewhere, I'm sure, given that I've got two cutting rooms going on at the moment and ADR. That's my PA saying, hello, Elizabeth? You looking for me?
Back in London, the Beecham House television series is in the edit.
My. What do they have here?
Ironically, her arriving is perhaps stronger.
To start with?
Yeah.
Should we start with Chandrika's arrival?
I think if we just start with Chandrika arriving...
I'll try and come back.
Okay.
Or you just send it to me, I'll watch it tonight.
Or I'll send it to you, yeah. But I'll give you a shout before I leave anyway.
Perfect.
Great.
Well done, Josh.
All right.
That's amazing.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So I'm just coming out of the Beecham House cutting room, down the corridor, and going now, this is the cutting room for Blinded by the Light. So this is the nature of my life this last year, jumping between the 6-part TV series set in India, 1795, and a movie set in Luton, 1987, with Bruce Springsteen songs. So sometimes I don't know if I'm coming or going. Right, Justin, how are we doing with this?
Blinded by the Light, Gurinder's new feature film, takes us to Luton, to Thatcher's Britain, and the life of a 16-year-old Pakistani boy and his family.
Yeah, so just go back to that shot again. That's the only
only thing I wonder if that it takes too long.
It does take a long time.
They're poor. The father's been laid off. The mother sews clothes. And this kid has a dream. You know, he wants to be a writer. But that's seen as a luxury. That's not how you earn money to help the family. And it's through the words and music of Bruce Springsteen that he learns how to handle life. Any other wines or clothes or anything in there?
It would seem to me that if Gurinder came into the room, you would want to give her money. She has that effect, and she just galvanises people into action.
This is Kate Muir, film critic and advocate for equal treatment of women in film.
But yet there are these gaps in her career from 2010 to 2017, when she got the Viceroy's house out. There is this gap, and I think she was searching for money for Blinded by the Light. And it seems even for her, with her record, it's a struggle.
Oh, my God. In those moments, I would have tripled the profits of the makers of cheese puffs. That is for sure. Yeah, there have been many times when I've taken to eating that sort of crap and sitting on the sofa and watching mindless telly, because I'm part of a world where people go, oh, yes, diversity. We need to hear these stories. We want to hear these stories. Oh, as a woman, we need to give women opportunities. We need. And so you hear that on the one side. And then the reality is that actually, no, people perhaps don't really want to do that. And why do I have to prove myself over and over again? People should be happy that I've walked through the door with a reasonably good idea, and they should be running to say, yeah, make this. Two very prominent British financiers, stroke broadcasters, rejected Blinded by the Light, even though it had Bruce Springsteen, even though I said it's just like Bend It Like Beckham, it will be commercially successful. I mean, they had their reasons. One person said he's not really a Bruce fan. Okay. And the other person said they didn't get it. So that was pretty depressing, because I was like, well, how can this be happening? I'm sure this cannot be happening still. If you just fall by the wayside, then they've won.
I think one of the great things for Gurinder is she works together as a team with her husband, Paul, at home and away. And together they are a very, very powerful unit. And I think that keeps her going. And she doesn't have to struggle on her own the whole time.
Blinded by the Light is based on a memoir by the writer Safras Manzoor, who is genuinely, like Gurinder, a massive Springsteen fan. And the approval of The Boss was essential to kickstart the project.
It was only in 2010 when we met Springsteen at an event and he mentioned to me that he'd read the book and loved it that we thought, you know what, this is a sign from a higher force that we have to actually make this film. The most important characters in the film are me, my mum, my dad. My friend Roops wore a denim jacket with the stars and stripes behind him and truly believed that Bruce Springsteen was the direct connection to all that was true and honest in this world. That's what he thought, that's what he still thinks. And me, I wrote poems when I was a teenager, wrote a teenage diary, aspired to go to America, believed America was the promised land, wanted to be a writer, and that's what Javed is in the film. Springsteen often talks about how his songs are emotionally autobiographical, even if they're not literally autobiographical. I'll give you an example. I'm 16 years old and I listen to Thunder Road from the album Born to Run. And the final line of Thunder Road is, "It's a town full of losers and I'm pulling out of here to win." It's a town full of losers. I am living in Luton, which a couple of years after that would be voted the crappiest town in the country. And then I read that he comes from New Jersey, where, like Luton, you can see the glittering lights of the metropolis, but it's not quite where you live. You think, well, Springsteen grew up in a similarish place. His dad worked in a similarish job. He has suggested that if you do these things, you too can get out. So that, for me, was an absolutely foundational song.
I'm lying here in bed, quite sick. I've been sick for a few days. And I really should be out packing, because this time next week, it will be the world premiere of my movie at the Sundance Film Festival.
And I should be out packing now, but I haven't got any energy or strength. But this is what happens when you spend a year working so hard on a movie and a TV series, of course. The movie has yet to be shared in its complete version with the public, with the world.
I think it's going to be very interesting because we've seen her do a movie, Viceroy's House, which was kind of very much of a drama of an ilk. A film didn't quite work for me. Whereas I feel here, she's fully embracing a subject.
Film critic Kaleem Aftab.
When we think about films of race and we think about maybe the Spike Lees and of that ilk and the American Black experience, it's a experience that is about us and them, about battle and confrontation. Whereas for Gurinder, I think the experience is about how we can all in it together, how we can all be a community, how we can all live together and try to live together. And where that throws up the battle for her is not between us and them, it's between tradition and modernity, I think. And that is for both sides of the equation in her films.
In Blinded by the Light, the 16-year-old Javed is played by Vivek Kaura. Javed's dad is played by Kulvinder Gear.
I've been offered a job at the Herald for the holidays.
How much will they pay you?
They won't. It's work experience.
They want you to work for no money?
The deputy editor thinks I can write. It's a great opportunity.
How is it a great opportunity when they're making you work and not giving you any money?
Dad, I want to be a writer.
Writing isn't a job.
It can be.
Name me one Pakistani writer, just one. Writing is for English people with rich parents.
But this is the chance to do something I really want to do.
I? What is this I?
Everyone else is making money. Mum, Yasmin, Shazia. The only one who isn't is you. I don't want to go and be an estate agent when I've got the chance to do something I really want to do.
Get out.
What?
You will not talk to your father like this. Get out. The biggest mistake I made was coming to this country.
I didn't ask you to come here.
Well, here we are. Sundance. There it is. Main Street, Park City. We have a few hours to go before our premiere of Blinded by the Light. This is an exciting time as a director because no one's seen your freaking film. Only you know what it is. So I'm going to be sitting in a theater with 1,500 people, members of the public, who will experience it. And then you got to sit there, hopefully feeling that the audience is feeling it as much as you.
Theatre was absolutely packed. Asked how many Bruce fans there were and heard people going, Bruce!
Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack!
Led everyone into a bit of Hungry Heart just to get the mood going. And then the film came on.
The Sundance crowd's reaction to the film exceeded all expectations. And although it's set in 1987, clearly, Javed's teenage rite of passage rings absolutely true in 2019.
In the real world, that same kid would have trouble getting into America and where the president says the kind of toxic things that he says. I mean, now it feels incredibly timely and relevant. Afterwards, when I went to speak to people at Sundance, I was mystified, to be honest, because how much connection can a bunch of people from Utah have to a story about a Pakistani kid from Luton? There were 5 minutes standing ovations. People were in tears. It was ridiculous. It was a bit over the top. So afterwards, I would talk to people. And what I realized is the reason it was connecting is because it was reminding people of the promise of what America could be. It was reminding people that once America was this beacon of hope to the world, and people like Springsteen did speak to the world, and it really made the audience connect to this idea of America as what it was, as a promised land.
I went off to the party with everyone, and what had been happening was the first bid that had come in had offered $7 million for the US rights. I would have been happy with two or three. I was like, that's great. And I was like, yes, great, we'll take that. Then the next bid was for 10 million. And then Warner Brothers said, no, forget all of them. We're coming in for 12 million. So I was sitting there looking at Paul going, poor old Paul had a cold. So he said, I'm going to bed. So the biggest night of our career, he goes off, takes some Lemsip and goes to bed. So I'm sat there going, okay, now what? I'm jet lagged as well, remember? So we're now 3 a.m. in this lodge in Sundance. And all these distributors have come in and said how much they love the film and how much they want to distribute it and what their plans are. And it was the excitement, it was the alcohol, it was the adrenaline, but it was also the jet lag was all kicking in. And finally, Carolyn came in from Warner Brothers and said, right, you've seen everyone. Let me tell you something. I don't need this film. I want this film. My whole career, I've been trying to make people see us as mainstream, as commercial. And along came Carolyn, who said, this is a commercial movie. We would release this with at least 2,000 prints across the States. And they then offered the final figure of 15 million and bought the movie.
Gurinder is a one-off. She has come through, I think, hell and high water to reach where she is. And she should have been listed along with, you know, Ken Loach, Mike Lee, all these great British directors. But instead, she's put in this niche corner, which is British Asian woman. And she shouldn't be. She's a great British director and she's a great popular British director.
So what could come next? Gurinder would like to direct a Star Wars movie. Kate Muir thinks there's no reason why not.
She could direct a blockbuster. She's got that energy, she's got that style, and she's also got an amazing emotional power, I think, behind the camera, which would be fantastic.
Meanwhile, Gurinder Chadha's on a roll and on planes to Cannes and Los Angeles, Vegas and New York, even though, to take Bruce Springsteen's words, it's been a long time coming.
Having fought constantly and pushed to make films with people of colour in the centre of the frame and always knowing that people don't think that's commercial, but I still push for it and say, well, it can be. And with this one, it's very gratifying to see that here is a film about a 16-year-old Pakistani kid, but then to have all these studios bidding for it at Sundance was a massive result. And probably the highlight of my career.